Today we are going to speak, talk a little bit about purpose of life. What is the purpose of our lives? So usually what happens is, as you know, we start, our basic needs are being met, you know, we above survival, we have your good financial support, kids out, and then we start thinking of what is our purpose in life? Where did I come from? What am I supposed to do? Why am I here? Those kind of questions people start asking themselves. So that is what we want to address today. So a lot of times people feel that, oh, my life is passing by and I haven't done anything, you know, of significance. Or some people are too stressed out just trying to go through the routine of taking a job, doing the job, or taking care of family. There are some people who are totally bored to death. They don't know what to do. Or some people are totally stressed out. So you have all kinds of people going through different stages of life. And then some people long for financial stability, you know. They said, oh, if I have financial stability, I'll be fine, you know. And then others are there who have the financial stability, who have everything else, and they still feel something is lacking. You know, I'm still not happy. No matter what I have, what I have done, it's still I'm not happy. And so what is it? And then you start thinking of, what is my purpose in life? What is that? What is it missing? Something is missing. So this is mainly from Eckhart Tolle's lectures. And he talks about two purposes that we have, primary purpose or inner purpose and outer purpose. So inner purpose is basically more concerned with being, with the state of consciousness you have. And it is also the primary, it's your main purpose in life is your inner purpose, okay? And so it's, and then it stays constant. It does not change over time. It is now. It's in the present. It's timeless. Or you can say it is now in the present moment. So it stays the same throughout your life. It's same for everyone. It is, does not change. And it's not in the future. It's now, right now. Your inner purpose is right now. Outer purpose is more concerned with doing, not with being, but doing things. And it changes from time to time, okay? It's in the future, always in the future. Right? And then it is concerned, like I said, more with doing and future. So that is the main difference. And he says outer purpose is always secondary. It's not your main. Main is your inner purpose. So, and inner and outer are also very intertwined, of course. It's not like you can separate one with from the other. And the more in alignment you are, the more happier you are going to be. Okay. So inner purpose is to awaken. And what do you mean by awaken? And I'll go a little bit detail afterwards. But so the main thing is to awaken to your own true nature. That's basically what your inner purpose is. And the inner purpose is the same for everyone. It's not like my inner purpose is different from yours or yours or yours. Or from the universe or from humanity. It's all one. The whole universe, your inner purpose and the whole universe's purpose is the same. So when you are in alignment with that, the whole universe, you are helping the whole universe wake up, basically. So that is your main primary purpose. And the outer purpose, like I said, changes from person to person. My purpose may be different. My purpose may be to be a doctor and do something. Somebody else's purpose may be taking care of their children and raising them. So it's different for different people. It changes from time to time. When I'm a student, maybe my purpose is to study and When I grow up, maybe my purpose is to raise a family, whatever it is, it changes. I want to be the best in my profession or whatever it is. So, you know, outer purpose goes on changing with time, and it's different for different people. Okay. Now, the goal is that inner and outer should be in alignment. If your outer purpose is not in alignment with your inner purpose, you may achieve things. Like say you want to be a CEO of a big company, okay? And you are not aligned with your inner purpose, but you work very hard. You work hard, you do whatever is necessary, you know, and you achieve that. But at what cost? You are stressing out, you're stressing everybody else out around you, you know, and the end result will never be good. It might be good for a little while, but you'll never be satisfied if your inner purpose is not, outer purpose is not aligned with the inner purpose. So basically, that is what I'm trying to get at, what the thing is. So let me give you a little example of inner and outer purpose, or primary and secondary purpose. Say I want to drink water, right? So I have to get up from here and go in the kitchen and get water, right? So when I get up and I start walking, my primary purpose or my inner purpose is to walk, okay? And my secondary purpose or outer purpose is to drink water, okay? But normally, what do? When we are walking, we are already at the water, mentally.
But that is inner purpose. Water and thirst is inner purpose. Walking and drinking is outer purpose. Walking is not inner purpose.
No. While thirst, you are walking.
Thirst and you want to drink water, that's inner purpose. Outer purpose is like you have to go and get water.
True. Physical. But right. Physical. True.
Psychological is like your thirst.
Right. But what I'm saying is you may be thirsty right now, right? But in the process, when you're walking, right?
Uh-huh.
So walking is your purpose. That
drinking
is your...
Water is a purpose.
No, it's secondary. It is the purpose, but it's secondary purpose. That is what I'm trying to get at. The difference between primary and secondary.
Because walking is what you're doing right now in the moment. What you're going to drink is later. So what your primary purpose is always right now, present. That's right.
That's and it's important. It's a very important. We don't think that way. We always think something in future, something we have to do, and which is fine, which is the secondary purpose. But the primary purpose is the most important. Say I'm looking for a phone number, right? So when I'm going through the pages, my primary purpose is to flip the pages and look for the, and secondary is to find the phone number, okay? The whole idea is to be in the present moment, basically. You do what it is now. But we never give importance to the primary because to us it is very simple, very useless, trivial kind of thing. Like walking over there is trivial. I'm giving simple reason of water, but say you're going to go and give a big speech or something, right? So you are thinking about, oh, my speech, will people like it? Will this, that? You think that is my big purpose in life. So many people are going to listen to me or whatever. But while you are walking, while you are going in the car, you don't pay attention to that. Your mind is into the speech, but your primary purpose is while you are in the car, what is going on around you? Are there other cars passing by? Whatever. That is your primary purpose. Your secondary purpose is the reaching the hall where you are going to give a talk or whatever. And then when you reach the hall and you start talking, then your primary purpose is to talk. Not, oh, what will people think about me? Whether they will like it or not. No, your primary is just to talk. Just give your speech and walk away. And when that speech is over, you start walking, then walking becomes your primary purpose.
So basically,
and going to the car is your secondary purpose.
Live in the present. Don't think about the future or don't think about the
past.
You have no control on the future. And
right.
past you cannot change. That's
right.
what the...
Yeah, basically that's what it is. But normally we don't think that way. We are always already... Like even if you're driving to work and you have a deadline or something, while you're driving, you're thinking about the deadline. I have to reach that, I do this, that. But you are not present while you are walking. So that's why the importance is in the primary. And secondary comes later. Okay.
Give importance to every step of the way.
Yeah, yeah. And then, then I'll talk a little bit about the inner purpose. So what is the inner purpose? So inner purpose is basically awakening. And what does awakening mean? Awakening means awakening to your true self, to your real nature, who you are, whatever. And practically, what does that mean, awakening? So it is like when there is a separation between awareness, your consciousness, and thought. When you can tell, when you're not lost in your thought, but you can be aware of your thought. And when that separation happens, that is awakening. And a lot of people go through all their lives without never, that separation never happening, you know. Consciousness, or let me say awareness. I think awareness is a better word. There is a gap between awareness and thought. Okay, let me, I was just, actually, there was a lecture by this weekend, yeah. And Deepak Chopra and Eckhart Tolle were there. So I liked what Deepak did that time. So I'll experiment. We can try that. I'll try that if it works. So say I'm asking you, are you aware? Are you aware?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Who says you are aware? How do you know you are aware?
I can watch myself be aware.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, I'm asking all of you, I'll ask the same question, are you aware? And do not answer. Okay? Not in your mind, don't answer loudly. Okay? So, are you aware?
You said do not answer.
Yeah, so don't answer. Are you aware? Now answer.
Depends.
On what?
On a situation. If I want to be aware of something, I'll be aware.
No, right now. Are you aware? I'm asking
yes,
right
I
now.
Am, yes.
Okay. So you said yes, right?
Yes.
So when you said, I am aware, okay, when I asked you, are you aware? That is a thought, right? That is. When you said yes, that is a thought, right? So what happened in between?
Thought.
No,
was
awareness.
There a thought?
Yeah.
No, it was awareness.
That's awareness.
In between awareness.
That is the awareness. So that is what we are talking about. Different, you may have had a thought. I'm not saying. Most people will have. But if you're very keen, I mean, if we do it with a lot of attention, you won't have a thought. How many people didn't have thought between that little thing? No, right?
I was just aware that what you are saying, what you are meaning.
But when I was not saying anything, nothing was happening, right?
I was aware that you were here.
Yeah, yeah, that is fine.
Yes.
But you had no thought.
No thought.
Right,
no.
You were just aware of things. So that is awareness. So the difference, and that is your real nature. Okay, and that is not dependent on anything. It will always be there. Whether you are sad or happy or angry or jealous or anything, it doesn't matter. That always stays the same. That awareness always stays the same. It's like the witness. It's there. Okay, so awakening is when that happens. When you are, so temporary awakeness, I can say, and then permanent awakeness. So somebody who is permanently awake will always be witness to everything. That gap is always there. They may be doing everything, they may be just acting like normal person, but they will always have the awareness. There's the separation that I am doing this. They always are aware of it. They are witness to their own situation or your personality. But normally for us, a lot of times you will have little short times you will aware. But most of the times you get carried away with, especially when you are speaking with someone, then you just get carried away. You don't, your attention is not on the awareness.
You don't watch yourself.
Yeah.
Basically, you have to be a spectator of your own self.
Right. Right.
And then keep apart with the worldly things and then watch yourself, the emotions.
So thought is the subtlest. So I'm taking the subtlest. Then after that will come emotion, then the body, whatever you are doing around, environment. So if you're aware of the thought, of course, you'll aware of everything else also. So I'm going to the subtlest one.
But okay. How do you change the samskaras? Because not everybody has the same, like, awareness, right? Like your true nature, you're saying.
It's the same. It doesn't matter what samskar you have. That awareness is going to be the same.
True natures.
No. That's why I said primary purpose is the same for everyone. It's not different. Awareness is the same. It's not different. Because it's the only thing that there is. Everything else is
some people are
false.
Able to be in touch with that. And that's different.
And that is what we are trying to do. How to get into touch with that. So basically that is awareness. Okay? Or that is awakening that I'm talking about. That there is a gap between awareness and thought. So that is the beginning of awakening. That's the beginning. So what he is saying is that awakening, for the first awakening to happen, you cannot do anything for it to happen. Like you cannot work at it, cannot do yoga and this and that, and maybe it will happen to me. Or you cannot strive for it. You don't have to be worthy for it either. You could be a total sinner. And it might happen to you. Or it doesn't matter. So what he's saying is that the first awakening happens by grace. You can say grace of God, or you can say of the consciousness, whatever you want to call it. But your effort, personal effort, will not do it. It is grace from above. Okay. So, and then people say that, oh, but how do I know that awakening has happened to me? So he goes through, of course, he writes it in the book, but even when we are talking about this, if this makes even a little bit sense to you, okay? If it makes sense to you, if you are reading the book and it makes some sense to you, then the awakening has already started in you. It has happened, okay? So that is the initial awakening. But then what can you do to invite that awakening more and more and more, right? And that is when you need to be more and more aware of things. Like, so you make choices. You make a choice between going on thinking about useless stuff, indulging in thinking, or being in the present moment, or being in presence. So what does presence mean, basically? Or being in the present moment mean? So people have different ideas about what it means to be in the present moment. And it's fine. There are three stages of it. So the first stage of being in the present moment is, whatever is going around you, you are aware of it. Okay? And that is also being in the present moment. That's the first level. Another level of is when you are in the present moment, you are aware of your sensations in your body, of your inner body, and whatever is going on also. Okay? That is second level. And the third level is just being present. And again, what just being present means, again, you are just aware without any thoughts. That are not necessary. Of course, if you are doing a math problem or somebody tells you, can you give me this address? You are not going to say, I am presence. I'm not going to give you that. That's not it. But unnecessary thinking is not there. All right? So that is present. So that is being in the present moment. These three levels, okay? Being aware of what's going on around you. Second level is being aware of what is going on around you plus inside you, like your sensations or whatever it is. And then the third is just being aware without any thoughts. You are aware, but there are no thoughts. So what he says is you need to invite that in your life more and more, whenever you remember and you feel it. So what are different ways you can do that? Okay. So one is he talks about just being aware of your breath, taking one or two conscious breaths. So like just now, we can all take one conscious breath. What does that mean? You are just aware of the whole process of breathing. So let's try just one. Okay. So while that one breath, did you anybody think about anything? You won't. If you're paying attention to the breath, you won't be thinking. So that is one way to invite presence into your life. Okay. Another way would be to ask yourself, say you have a question in your mind, okay, whether there is God or not. You have that question. Instead of dwelling on whether there's God, and oh, so-and-so said, yeah, I read it over there, I did this, that. Instead of doing that, you ask yourself, who has that question? Okay? And when you ask the question, who has that question, it will fall back on presence. It will fall back on awareness. If you have answer to that, then you haven't fallen back yet. Say you have an answer. What answer would you have said?
Me.
Any answer? Yeah?
You say me.
Yeah, you say me. Then you ask the question, who is me? Who is that question? Who am I? Who is that me?
That's
me. Say you might get, so I am Sanjay. Or I am this, that, whatever. Then you ask, who is that? Who is aware of my name is Sanjay? Or who is aware of that? So finally, what will happen is when you ask the question, who am I? It will fall back. There is no answer to it. And when there is no answer, but you are awake, you are alert, that's awareness. That is also inviting, coming back to the present moment. Instead of thinking about other things, you are coming back to no thought, basically. And some people don't like this who am I thing, because the same thing, you may say, oh, who am I? It's me. Who am I? Then it goes on.
Yes.
So the other way to do it is you say, I am. I'm not this or that or this or that, but I just exist. I am. Okay? So that just stops everything. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I just am. Or you can say, I am aware. I'm just aware. Not aware of this, this and that, but just aware. These are different ways to fall back to the present moment. Another way is when your mind is really going very fast, especially even when you're meditating, and some days are going to be like that, that you just cannot concentrate. It might, and you're closing your eyes and doing it, it may be a good idea to open your eyes. Open your eyes and look at something. Anything is fine, but it's better if it's nature. Like if you're sitting somewhere near the window, look out and look at a tree or a flower or a bird or something. That will stop your mind. Paying full attention to whatever you are seeing. Or any of the senses you can use. But basically these two work the best. The other one is hearing sound. So if your mind is racing and racing, try to sit and listen to what sounds are going on around you. And when you are quiet, you will hear, especially in nature, you will hear all the nice, you know, birds chirping or the water or the wind blowing and all that. Here you might hear the AC going or whatever. but that will stop your mind. So these are just different ways of coming to the present moment. And what he says is you need to do this constantly during the day. The more you do it, the more you are going to be, the more awakened you are going to get. So invite presence into your life. So that is what you can do, something you can really do. So then Einstein said this, "I want to know the mind of God. The rest are details." And what is the mind of God? What does it mean? Mind of God is to be aware. Just awareness. Because anybody who has done Vedanta knows, oh, we always learn that, right? That Brahman is what? Nothing but just consciousness, just awareness. And that is all there is. There's nothing else there. Everything else is superimposition. So anyway, so mind of God is awareness or consciousness, whatever you want to call it. That's it. And what are the details? Details are the things you do, the things that, there is an outer or secondary purpose, right? So, is it okay so far? Then people wait in their lives for something great to happen, you know. This is, especially when they are in the spiritual life, they say, oh, you know, I haven't had any great experience, you know. I don't see light, so I don't see this or that. And they go on waiting for something great to happen to them, you know.
Expectation.
Yeah, expectation, and that if that didn't happen,
what am I doing?
Yeah, it's not, I'm not progressing. Yeah. It's not working. But Eckhart says the most important thing that has happened to you, the most significant, is this break between awareness and thought. Is that awakening? And you should rejoice that it has happened to you. Okay? And he says that once it has happened, it will go on. It might be delayed by your ego. As much as you listen to your ego, it'll be delayed, but it cannot be stopped. It is going to go to its fruition, to enlightenment. So that's the good news. I said, don't wait for something great to happen. So many people, when they go into the spiritual path, after some time, what happens to them is they don't know what the outer purpose is. They haven't figured it out. Because what happens to them is things that they were important to them, things that were enjoyable to them before, now there's no interest in it. Okay? Like, say, you're going to parties. So it doesn't have to be that. Just an example. So things you enjoy shopping. So things you used to enjoy, you don't enjoy anymore. So now you don't want to do that, but you don't know what else to do either. You know, for outer purpose. So that kind of thing will happen for a while. But slowly the integration will happen and the outer purpose will become very clear to you later. But be patient. Because what is your primary purpose? To be aware. So just be aware, to be here and now. So, you know, like... So one person asked Eckhart, you know, so what is my goal in life? What is my purpose? So he said, yeah, you were talking to me just now. That's what you need to do. Listen to what we are talking about. So she said, no, but you don't understand. I'm talking about something big, you know. So like and we all think about that. I think we all think, what, I should save the world, or I should do this or that. And we all have that. So she said, what? That means that I have to sit in this office for 20 years, shuffling the same papers and all. So he said, just now you're not in the office, so that's not what you're doing. When you are in the office, shuffle the papers. So he said, forever, for 20 years? And she said, no, for 8 hours, whatever your time is. And then, so we think that we have to do something great, but it's not. This is the great thing that you're doing. If you can be in the present moment, that is the greatest thing you can do. And when you do that, when you stay in the present moment, because it is the purpose of the whole universe, because it's the purpose of the whole universe, you get support from the whole universe. So things start happening in your life if you are aligned with the primary purpose. Things will happen in your life where your outer purpose becomes very easy. Things happen easily, you know, from unknown places, help will come, which you never thought of, and things like that. So it will, like in Gandhiji's story, in life, it happened where he used to have an ashram, and the person who was dealing with the ashram, he came and said, you know, we don't have any money for tomorrow. We don't even know what we are going to cook for everyone. There's no money. So, and Gandhiji said, don't worry, it's fine. Whatever God wants will happen. You won't believe, in a few minutes, a guy came in and he donated like so many thousand rupees. And in those days, it was a huge thing. So that is what I'm talking about. Things will just happen when your inner purpose and your outer purpose are aligned, then you get all the help. So, interesting. So when the inner and outer purpose are aligned, what kind of a work will it be? So it will be peaceful, it will be in harmony with everything, it will be, you'll do it with enthusiasm, there'll be enthusiasm, there will be joy in it, you know. And like I said, there will be support of nature, things like that. When you are not in alignment with your inner purpose, okay, but you are doing things, and what does that mean by not being in alignment with your inner purpose? Is when you are not aware of yourself when you're doing things. You're not aware of that presence and you're doing things. Then what will happen? There'll be a lot of anxiety in what you're doing, a lot of stress, a lot of hard work. You feel like you have to do so much work. There will be a lot of obstacles to that work. And you'll make people around you miserable. That kind of. So it's not. And in the long run, even if you are successful, for that, in the long run, you are not going to be satisfied with it. So that is the difference between being in alignment with the inner purpose and doing it just. So inner purpose is basically a state of consciousness. How are you? Are you at peace with yourself? That is what it is. So whatever you do, can you bring that into your life? That is the thing. And if nothing, like there are certain things you can say, you can, outer purpose, you can pick and choose some of it, right? Some of it you say, okay, I love to paint, okay? So then that is easy. You will enjoy. You will do it with enthusiasm because you love to paint. But dishes you don't like to do, right? And or at least I don't like to do it. But I have to, right? I cannot get away from that. So what do I do? The joy is not there. Enthusiasm is not there.
Get a maid. Hmm?
I can get a maid. So then what do I do? Then at least I at least be aware while I'm doing it. That's the least I can do. That be present. And then slowly joy will come to that too. Slowly enthusiasm will come in that. But in the beginning, if you cannot have enthusiasm for something, then at least start with being present. Or even before, not even that, that is second. Even worse than that, what do we do when we don't like to do something? Yeah, you are.
Put the music on and do the dishes.
That also. But even worse than that, that's even not too bad. Yeah. Worse than that.
Thoughts about
how. Yeah, how come I have to do? Nobody else does this and everything.
Yeah.
So that is the worst one. At least don't do that. Second is be present. You can distract yourself. Okay, that is fine. Better than saying all negative things. And then after that, of course, and slowly when you be present, then the joy and enthusiasm will come in simplest of things. They don't have to be great things that you have to do. So that is basically about the purpose. If you have any questions or something.
So the inner purpose, as you say, it's the same for everybody. So, and the only inner purpose is to be aware. It's only one and only singular purpose.
That's right. And I maybe, again, words are limited, right? And being aware is one way to do it. But of course, there's a lot to it, right? But it's not, like for years, I used to think, you know, because Vedanta will say it's so difficult to get this and that, and it's like rare person will get. And I used to think something you will never, you know, experience it. But now I have realized that what they are talking about is somebody who is totally established in it all the time. That is very rare, to be totally established, like all the time, where you don't, whenever, all the time you can see or witness. You can distance yourself from the personality that you are. Right? You're like, I have sort of, this is my body. I have thoughts about that. I am good looking, not good looking. I'm tall or short or whatever. I am happy, not happy. I'm smart, not smart. Whatever I have, that personality, I'm always a witness to that. I mean, for people who are, so that is rare. But short ones, all of us do it. And that is the awareness. That is it. So that we can do, most of us have done that, right? So that is what, so primary purpose is to be, you can call it just be aware or be present or whatever you want to, whatever different things to.
Witnessing.
Witnessing, yeah. That's just different ways to say the same thing. Yeah.
So any action you do and just fully be engrossed in that particular action at that time.
Right.
That if you are eating, for example, just be involved in eating.
And that's where mindfulness comes. Mindfulness is the same thing, where you are totally aware of what is happening. And then, like I said, there are levels to it. Okay, there are levels to it. So when you are doing mindful eating, then you are mindful about the taste, the texture of the food or whatever. And hopefully you're not thinking. That is what the whole idea is, taking away from thinking. But like I said, the three levels of presence. So you are still aware of at the second level, because you are aware of how your body is feeling and the taste and all of that. But then the third level will be just totally dissociation. I mean, you are still doing everything that is happening, but you are total witness and there are no thoughts. That's so. That is mindfulness, or that is being aware. And so the more you, but he also says now more, instead of, like, if you had a choice, like, so sitting formally is always good to meditate, of course, but he says these short ones are even more important all through the day. If you take short ones, and I must have told some people, I'm not used to this. I must have told some
You're not
people,
aware
but
of it.
Yeah, that so Dr. John Kabat-Zinn, he is the founder of mindfulness of meditation and all that. So a physician went to him one day and he said, "You know, I'm so stressed out. I'm out of time. I just cannot relax. I'm so stressed. Too much work to do." So he said, meditate, you know. So he said, I don't have time for meditation. So he said, okay, do just one thing. So he said, every so often take one conscious breath, just like we did just now. Just take one conscious breath. You have time for that. You can say, I don't have time for that. So he said, okay, yeah. So then he started his work, and then he was doing his work, and then he thought, I can't remember to take the breath. So he said, I have to come up with some system where I would remember. So he would constantly look at the clock, right? Because he's running out of time all the time, too many things to do. So he'll look at the watch. So he said, okay, let me put a green sticker on that watch, so that when I see, and I see that green sticker, it reminds me that I need to take a conscious breath. So he would take one conscious breath. He put a green sticker here. He put a green sticker everywhere, you know, wherever there were clocks. Slowly, he could see the difference, even with that much only. One conscious breath every time he looked, that's it. Then he started putting it on all the exam room doors. So before he entered the room, one conscious breath. He put it on the steering wheel. Before he started driving, one conscious breath. Just that he did. And then he said that in a couple of months, patients were asking, "Doc, what are you doing? You look relaxed." You know? So this is something so simple. And that is what he's saying. Invite presence into your life. Because our mind is so used to being outside for since we were born. And if you believe in reincarnation, then it is for so many lifetimes you've been just going outside. Your mind has always been out. So it's very difficult to train it to look inside. And this is what it is to. So these are different ways to do it. You pick your own way and come up with something. But the more you invite during the day, all through the day, the better off it is. Yeah. So he recommends this even more important than formal sitting. But I think formal sitting is also very important for us at least. Because yeah.
So, take one conscious breath. Ask, who am I? And what is
the... You don't have to do all of them.
No, I'm just...
Yeah. I am. Oh. Or just now you say, I'm aware.
Okay.
I am only, not I am this or that, or I am a woman or I'm this. Just I am. So you don't add anything to it. I exist, basically. I just exist. That way. Okay. So maybe, should we meditate then? So everyone sit comfortably. With your back straight, but relaxed. Bring your attention to your breath. And just observe how the breath goes in and out. In and out. Do not try to manipulate it in any way. Just normal breathing. Now start thinking the mantra, I am. And just repeat it in your mind. I am. I am. I am. If thoughts come, let them come. But whenever you realize that you are not thinking the mantra, come back to I am. Do not manipulate the mantra in any way. Let it do whatever it wants to do. If it wants to be fast, it will be fast. If it wants to slow down, let it slow down. You just go with the flow. The only effort you will make is whenever you realize you are not thinking, I am, gently come back to I am.
Thank you.
Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So we have a few minutes for questions. If I had a question.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, I always wonder about that state of oblivious, chronic obliviousness that some people have sometimes, like for instance. The state of abeyance, like
state of abeyance.
Yes, and nothing is happening. But might be a level or degree of consciousness. But I don't know if it's the same one as the threshold between wake and sleepiness. I had this event where I was driving long distance,
okay.
And then. I was getting very sleepy.
Okay.
But then all of a sudden, I said to myself, wake up because you're going to have an accident or be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So, but I didn't say it verbally, but I
Right, you thought of that. Huh.
So I was wondering, was that a voice? Because I wasn't sure if I heard myself saying it, but I said to myself, I was obviously talking. I mean,
it's probably just a thought that you had, right?
Probably a thought.
It's a thought. He's confused with mind and intellect. So he's about to sleep and his intellect is like telling to wake up.
Probably.
That is, mind is different, intellect is different. Mind will say like, okay, it gets attracted to the worldly things, get mend and bend with worldly things, and intellect is the one which guides you. So that's the one, it's a voice, inner voice telling you wake up, otherwise you get an accident. It's warning you, clear mind, not to sleep. So it's in you. It's yourself.
It's within you, yeah. The thought
so,
is just
so it's
coming.
Part of intelligence.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Mind is different and intelligence is different and body is different. So your mind is our body and mind
but
is
time. That's organic, right? Or is,
yeah.
It's
and
like
the intellect is the one which guides you in life. What is right, what is wrong.
Right, it's like
it's
software.
The inner voice.
In computer, right? Like some
no, so there are different levels again. So you're trying to figure out whether it was a thought or it came from something deeper, okay? So it could come from something deeper. So intellect can go only so far, okay? After that, there are 7 states of consciousness. One day we'll do it sometime maybe. But the 4th level is which we experience a lot of times when we are, like just now we did for a little bit, like, we were aware, but no thought. That is the 4th level of consciousness. In meditation, I don't know, if you do the mantra meditation, like what we were doing just now, when the mantra goes away and the thought goes away, and in this mantra meditation, you don't, it's not like japa that you just go on saying. You let it do what it wants to do. It may be fast, it may be slow, it may be soft, it may be loud. Let it do whatever it does. And if you do it enough, it will go away sometime. And it might be just for a few seconds. But when it goes away, then you are aware, you are awake, but you have no thoughts. And that, at that point, you are in connection with the whole universe, with the universal mind. So sometimes, some idea can come from there. It's called intuition. We say intuition. It's a lot deeper than the intellect. Intellect can do only so much. Because intellect can only work on what it knows. Right? If I have had experience with a dog that bit me, right? I have certain ideas that this I'm afraid of the dog. But if some animal comes, which I have no idea, I've never seen, never heard of it, then I have nothing. I won't be afraid or I won't be happy or nothing. Because so intellect can only work till on things that it knows. But this is deeper where the whole universal mind will work. So all the intelligence that's in the whole world, in the universe, you have access to. That's why they say stay in the present moment, because you have access to that infinite intelligence at that time. So it could have been just a thought, or it could have been something from deep, and then that's, a lot of people will say, oh, God saved me, you know, gave me that idea that, oh, wake up.
Assuming at this point, I'm still learning, that thing will take over, and that's when like actions.
Yeah, right. It will, the more you get established in being, that's primary purpose. The more you get more and more established, things just happen automatically, basically. You are not thinking that I need to do this, or the intellect is not working. It may be working, but things just happen naturally. Actually, things are just happening naturally anyway. We think we are doing it, but like in Gujarati, we have that, no, hu karu, hu karu, ye jagne anta. There is a poet in Gujarat who was a great spiritual person, and he said, we think we do what we, everything that we do, we think we do, but it's just like a dog walking under the bullock cart, thinks that I am, have all this burden and I'm walking, that kind of thing. So actually everything happens, but anyway, at least at our level, we think that way. And when the deeper you go, the more automatic things happen. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay.